माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन नंदन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन शरणंदन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुन तीरा वनचारी तीरा जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी रात जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jayam Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Stotara Satasi Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur ki jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Sikha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahmanitananda Siddhaita Garadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinatha Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Swami Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai. All glories of the assembled devotees. All glories of the assembled devotees. All glories of the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, Prabhupada's edition of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is Lord Brahma speaking, isn't it?
Yes.
And who is he addressing?
Demigods?
Vishwasya yaha stiti laya udbhava hetur adya. So adyo yogeshwara api duratyaya yogamaya kshemam vidhasyati sa no bhagavans triadishas tatra tasmadiya vimrshena kiyan iha artha vishvasya jakstiti layodbhava heturadyo Vishwasya jakstiti layodbhava heturadyo. Yogeshwarayar api duratyaya yogamaya. Yogeshwarayar api duratyaya yogamaya. Kshemam vidhasyati sano bhagavan sthyadhishas Kshemam vidhasyati sano bhagavan sthyadhishas Tatrasmadiya vimrshena kiyani harta Tatrasmadiya vimrshena kiyani harta Vishwasya jakstiti layodbhava heturadyo Vishwasya jakstiti layodbhava heturadyo Yogeshwarayar api duratyaya yogamaya Yogeshwarayar api duratyaya yogamaya Kshemam vidhasyati sano bhagavan sthyadhishas Kshemam vidhasyati sano bhagavan sthyadhishas Tatrasmadiya vimrshena kiyani harta Tatrasmadiya vimrshena kiyani harta
Bhava hetu radyo
Yogeshwara kapi durat
Tumeshwaraya Piduratyaya Yoga Maya. Jaimam Vidasyati Sano Bhagavan Chadishas. Tatatmadiya Vimarsena Kiyani Harta. Svasya Jaksi Tilayod Bhava Hetu Radya. Yogeshwarara Vidhiratyaya Atmaya. Kshemam vidhasyati sanho bhagavan cha dhishas. Tatrasma dhiya vimrsena kiyani adha. Vishpashtya Yogeshwarara Piduratyaya Yoga Maya. Kshemam Vidasyati Sano Bhagavan Chadishas. Tatrasmadhiya Vimrsena Kiyani Harta. So, ladies. Vishasya jakstiti layo bhavahedu. Yogeshwara. Yogeshwarara Tatrasmadiya Vimarsena Kiyani Harta. Sasya Yaksi Tilayoda Vahedu. Yesarara Pidaratyaya. Kremang Vida. So, Prabhupada's translation for this verse, Vishwasya means of the universe, Jahahu, Stiti, maintenance, Laya, destruction, Udbhava, creation, Hetu, the cause, Adya, the most ancient person, Yoga, Ishwarai, by the masters of Yoga, Api, even Duratyaya, cannot be easily understood, Yogamaya, his Yogamaya potency, Kshemam, good, Vidasyati, will do, Saha, he, Naha, of us, Bhagavan, the supreme personality of Godhead, Triadhisha, the controller of the three modes of material nature, tatra, there, asmadiya, by our vimarsena deliberation, kiyan, what, iha, on this subject, artha, purpose. So the translation, this is Lord Brahma speaking. My dear sons, the Lord is the controller of the three modes of nature and is responsible for the creation, preservation, and dissolution of the universe. His wonderful creative power, Yoga Maya, cannot be easily understood even by the masters of yoga. That most ancient person, the personality of Godhead, will alone come to our rescue. What purpose can we serve on his behalf by deliberating on this subject? Prabhupada's purport. When something is arranged by the supreme personality of Godhead, one should not be disturbed by it, even if it appears to be a reverse according to one's calculations. For example, sometimes we see that a powerful preacher is killed or sometimes put into difficulty, just as Haridas Thakur was. He was a great devotee who came into this material world to execute the Lord's will by preaching the Lord's glories. But Haridas was punished at the Kazi's hands by being beaten in 22 marketplaces. Similarly, Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and Prahlad Maharaj was put through so many tribulations. The Pandavas, direct friends of Krishna, lost their kingdom, their wife was insulted, and they had to undergo many severe tribulations. Seeing all these reverses affect devotees, one should not be disturbed. One should simply understand that in these matters there must be some plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam's conclusion is that a devotee is never disturbed by such reverses. He accepts even reverse conditions as the Lord's grace. One who continues to serve the Lord even in reverse conditions is assured that he will go back to Godhead, back to the Vaikuntha planets. Lord Brahma assured the demigods that there was no use talking about how the disturbing situation of darkness was taking place, since the actual fact was that the Supreme Lord ordered it. Brahma knew this because he was a great devotee. It was possible for him to understand the Lord's plan. Thus, in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, chapter 16 of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Two Doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, Jaya and Vijay, Cursed by the Sages. Of course, Lord Brahma ends this description saying that because that curse by the sages led to Jaya and Vijay taking birth as the fine gentleman, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And so they went to Lord Brahma and said, "What's going on here?" And the Lord said to Brahma, Brahma said, "Don't worry, it's..." And he explained the story of Jaya and Vijay. So, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedan Shamaniti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschatya Desha Tarine. So, Vishwasya Jakstiti Layod Bhavahitura Dyo Jyogeshara Piduratya Yajogamaya Kshemang Vidhasyati Sano Bhagavang Shyadishas Tatrasmadiya Bhimarsena Kiyani Harta. So, Lord Brahma first points out here that Krishna is the Hetu, or the cause of the Stiti, Laya, and Udbhava of the universe, the creation, maintenance, and annihilation. We use the word annihilation often in our Srila Prabhupada's books, and so this word is being used in a non-literal sense because this comes from the, isn't it, the Latin nihil, which means nothing. And so to annihilate literally means to make something nothing. And of course, the word Prabhupada, the Sanskrit word here is Laya. Different words. You always often get these this list of three, creation, maintenance, annihilation. Here we have the word udbhava, referring to creation. Udbhava literally means coming up. Upcoming. Or coming to be. Coming up to be. Or creation. And sometimes the word janma is used, birth. Janma, dhyasya, jataha, and so on. Sometimes the word srishti is used. Srishti, stiti, pralaya, sadhana, shaktiras, and so on. Chaiva is from the Brahma Sanghita. So whether it's the word udbhava or srishti or janma, means creation. Or so just different synonyms, different ways of talking about the fact that there is no universe manifested, and then there is, and what happened in between? What was the process by which something that wasn't there now is there? So whether it's, sometimes it's called the birth of the universe, Krishna causing the birth of the universe, or here coming to be, or srishti, which is often used, or sarga, srishti and sarga are just from the same root, which means something like releasing the universe, sort of, you know, letting it go, letting it fly. And also for annihilation, different words are used. And here the word laya, which Prabhupada translates somewhat literally as in his translation as dissolution. Because laya literally means to, well, dissolution, dissolving. So you think about it, if you have some kind of substance and it dissolves, technically the matter is still there. It's just, it dissolved, it broke down into little parts, and it's, for all practical purposes, it's not there, at least not in the form it was. So the universe, we say annihilated, and we can use that. That's used somewhat idiomatically in the sense of destroyed, but not literally in the sense of being made nothing. It's actually made unmanifest. As Krishna says in the Gita that, what is it? Avyaktadini bhutani, vyaktamadhyani bharata, avyakta nidhananyeva, tataka pridevana. That all creatures in the beginning are unmanifest, then they become manifest, and again they're unmanifest, so what's the problem? Tatraka paridevana. So literally, what is the lament there? What's the problem? If something again becomes unmanifest, it's going back to its roots in a sense. Well, bless you. But okay. So of course, for someone who likes being manifest, it is kind of a problem. But then again, what Krishna is saying is that even if you become unmanifest in the sense of losing your body, you'll pop up again. Can't keep a good jiva down. So anyway, so here it said that Krishna is the cause of these three phases of Vishwa, of the universe. These three of the universe. Krishna is the cause, the Hetu. The word hetu is interesting. I mean, there's so much in these verses. If you look into the Sanskrit, Prabhupada used to say that you'll find so much meaning in every letter and every word. So, for example, the word hetu means cause, but also it's commonly used in Sanskrit to mean a psychological cause, which we translate in English by the word motive, a motive. For example, from the word hetu, you have the word haituka. Just from the word hetu, meaning having a hetu, having a cause. And then you have the common adjective to describe bhakti, which is feminine. You have the common adjective ahaituki bhakti, which just means something which doesn't have a hetu. Ahaituki, not having a hetu. In other words, unmotivated devotional service. I mean, obviously we don't mean the literal sense that devotional service has no cause, because if it had no cause, no one would do it. We have very good reasons to serve Krishna. We have very good reasons to serve Krishna, but there's no material cause. It's not deterministic. It's not that someone is forcing us to serve Krishna, and it's not for a material reason. So, ahaituki bhakti which has no hetu, causeless devotional service, causeless in the sense that there's no material motivation. We're not physically being forced to do it, and there's no material motivation. So hetu in that sense it means cause, but in Sanskrit it can mean also a psychological cause. It can also mean what we refer to as motive. And so here, the word hetu, which Prabhupada translates cause, that Krishna is prime adya. Of course, adya simply from the word adi. Adi means beginning or first. And so adya means being the beginning of something, the first, the prime evil. Evil actually there meaning time, not meaning bad, as in medieval means middle age. Medieval is just the Latin way of saying middle ages. And so prime evil just means the first time, referring to the prime, the first, primo. So prime evil, the first time. So it's a literal translation of adya. So to say that Krishna is the hetu, the cause of the here, sthiti means maintenance. It's maintenance. That Krishna is the cause of this also means he's the motive. In other words, he has a motive. He has a psychological reason for doing it. He has some reason to do it. A personal reason, which is, of course, he wants to rectify the fallen souls. Also, the word sthiti, here meaning maintenance, is interesting. Sthiti, almost very literally, we have words, this comes from the Sanskrit root sta, which has a direct equivalent in English, stand, and we have the word, all these words in Sanskrit, words like status, standing, and situation, and so on. So it's sthiti, status, as in status quo. In other words, something is just standing there. It's not being created, it's not being annihilated, or it's not being dissolved, it's just standing there. So that's the word sthiti, which is translated as maintenance. Vishwasya jak sthiti layo bhava heturadyo yogeshwarayra pituratya yogamaya. In the second line, a philosophical point is being made and emphasized. The point is being emphasized by using the word yoga twice. Yogeshwarayra and yogamaya. So the repetition of the word yoga is made for emphasis. The point being made here is that Krishna, the word yoga maya actually refers to Krishna. Anyway, for any of you who are grammar freaks, just a little footnote here. In the word maya, yoga maya, maya is actually a feminine word, maya. It's here mayaha with a short A in the masculine because it's used as a special kind of compound which refers to Krishna. And Krishna is masculine, so therefore it's maya becomes masculine. Anyway, back to the matinee. So, what this says here, that was for Archita. What this says here is that Krishna possesses a yoga maya, or a mystic potency, which is dur ati aya, literally hard to overcome, hard to go over. Aya means going, ati means over, and dur means duro. You know Spanish? Hard, difficult. In other words, and it's hard to go over in the sense that you can't go over it, which we say, we have the same expression in English. We say like he's hardly going to be able to do that. Meaning he's not going to be able to do that. So that's the sense it has in Sanskrit. Duratya, hard to go over in the sense that you won't go over it. So Krishna has a yoga maya. The word yoga is also very interesting. I mean, we could give hundreds of classes just on the word yoga, but then again, people would probably starve to death before we finished. So, but I'll say a few words about this word yoga. It has a sense of link. And if you think of the different ways, or connect, it also means, that's just a synonym, connect. You can use many English words. So, if you think of how we use the word connect, like we say someone's connecting, which means that he's understanding, he or she is understanding something, or someone is connected in the sense that they have good contacts, or they, I mean, we use the word in all kinds of different ways. And so, or we say that someone is not together, like, you know, get your act together. In other words, link up the various components of your life so they make sense. So, in Sanskrit, as in English, this image of connecting things, getting them together, linking them, has many idiomatic uses because it's just a powerful way of referring to all kinds of efficiencies, efficient ways of doing things. And so, to give an example of this, you find in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 3 and again in chapter 5, the word yoga is contrasted with or compared to the word Sankhya. And Krishna, of course, is talking about something which is very well known in Vedic culture, and that is that among these six darshans, these six philosophies you're supposed to understand before you sit on the hot seat, they're sort of linked together. For example, Vaisheshika is linked with Nyaya, and you have the Purva Mimamsa, which Prabhupada often refers to as Karma Mimamsa. And Mimamsa just means thinking very hard about something, literally. I mean, that's what it means. It comes from the Sanskrit root man, to think. And Mimamsa is a form in Sanskrit called the intensive form. It just means a word is made more intense. So Mimamsa means really thinking intensely. And it therefore comes to mean like philosophical inquiry. And so you have the Purva Mimamsa, which means the former or the first Mimamsa, and then the Uttara Mimamsa, the subsequent or later Mimamsa, which is Vedanta. So Vedanta and Karma Mimamsa go together because they're both Mimamsas. And therefore, in the Karma Mimamsa Sutra, and they actually have a sutra, everyone's got a sutra in Vedic culture. If you want to keep up with the dasas, you have to have a sutra. So just as Vedanta begins, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, now then, the Jigyasu, inquiry or curiosity about, literally desire to know, literally means desire to know, the desire to know Brahma, Atato Brahma. The Karma Mimamsa Sutra, you know, they think, not to be outdone, they're trying not to be atta. And they say, atato dharma jigyasa. Now then, the desire to know dharma. And by dharma, they mean karmakanda. So anyway, so these six philosophies are linked together. The former and then the later in the sense of the higher, the Mimamsa, Vedanta and Karmamsa, and then Vaisheshika, which is basically atomic theory, and Nyaya, logic, because when you get into that materialistic, reductionistic, atomistic theory, you know, you get into all kinds of logic. It becomes very materialistic. And then also the Sankhya and Yoga. So in the Bhagavad Gita, well, not only the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, all kinds of terms that we use all the time, like Purusha and Prakriti, and the three modes of nature, the gunas, and the pradana, and the mahatattva, and maya, all this language which we often use to express our philosophy, technically comes from Sankhya. We're actually using the language of Sankhya. And so, the original Sankhya. So, the word Sankhya, my God, this is going to be a three-hour Bhagavatam class. Lock those doors. So, anyway, I'll try to speak quickly, intelligibly. So, the Sankhya, Kya means to tell. Means to tell, Kya. And Sang means to, like, together. So to tell, literally, Sankhya means number. In other words, something which tells the whole of something, or something like Sankirtan, chanting together. And so to tell together, I mean, it sounds kind of crude in English, but it sounds pretty elegant in Sanskrit. I mean, because we don't, in English, Sanskrit sounds fine. But so Sankhya means a number, because what does a number do? It tells how many there are of something. It puts everything together and tells you how many. So therefore, from the word Sankhya, number, if you reverse the vowel lengths, it becomes Sankhya, which means literally enumeration. And so Sankhya is an enumeration. It's philosophy in the sense of figuring out how many fundamental particles there are, how many fundamental real things there are. Things that, for example, and the word for Sanskrit, the word in Sanskrit for a fundamental real thing that can't be broken down into smaller things, or at least has significance in itself, is tattva. And I won't go into a technical discussion, but that's what the word tattva actually means. And therefore, in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Devahuti, who is quite intellectual, actually, if you read the third canto, she says to Kapila, kati tattvani santi, how many tattvas are there? And that's what launches the whole Sankhya philosophy. In other words, the enumeration, the philosophical enumeration. Because if something can be broken down to something else, then who cares about that? Let's get down to the real things. So the idea is kati tattvani, how many tattvas are there? How many fundamental real things are there? And it turns out, of course, the main real things are jiva tattva, Vishnu tattva. That's why they're called tattvas, because they're fundamental. To call something a Vishnu tattva means it's a category of a fundamental real thing, or as an ontological category. Jiva tattva means jiva as a category of a fundamental real thing, or prakriti tattva. They're called tattva traya, the three tattvas, the three fundamental real things. And that's, and then if you think of that verse from the Bhagavatam, vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yadgya, that those who know tattva say that the Lord is such and such. So, in other words, those who know that there are these that there may be many material manifestations, but ultimately it all comes down to prakriti. You can have earth and water and fire and this and that, but ultimately it's just prakriti tattva. There's many people, you know, there's all kinds of people, different races and species and souls, but ultimately it's all one category, jiva tattva. And there are many incarnations of God, but it's all Vishnu tattva. So anyway, this is basically Sankhya, understanding these things. Now, the process by which you realize it, the process by which you actually get it, you become enlightened, is called yoga. And that's why Krishna says in the Gita, Sankhya yoga upratak bala pravadanti napandita. Those who are literally children, childish, bala, like Bala Krishna, Those, Krishna says, those who are childish and not wise, not panditas, they say that Sankhya and Yoga are different. Because ekamapyasi taksamya, because if you really practice one of them properly, literally what Krishna says, ubayor vindate phalam, then you enjoy or you achieve the result of both. So Sankhya and Yoga in Sanskrit are meant to say philosophy and practice. So if you take that common sense of yoga, which is the application, the process, the practice, and then think of yoga maya, it actually means not only Krishna's mystic potency, but the potency that gets things done. It's the potency that actually gets things done. And so, in that sense, to be a yogeshwara, to be a master of yoga, is to be a mystic master, but also a master of this. And what gets things done in terms of self-realization is practicing yoga. In a sense, practicing yoga is almost like saying practicing the practice. Because yoga, in a sense, means... So, to say bhakti yoga means to practice bhakti. To get bhakti, to get it done, to do it. And so on. And so, here the emphasis is that those who are yogeshwaras, those who are masters of getting it done in self-realization, they themselves are sort of undone. They cannot overcome, in the sense, they can't master. Duratyaya here, I think, is used idiomatically in the sense, because it doesn't mean literally that yoga is like some kind of bar, and then you have all these masters of yoga. Krishna's yoga maya is a bar, you know, with their poles, like pole vaulting, and, you know, running and trying to vault themselves over yoga maya. So it's not just literally going over, physically going over something. But going over here is in the sense we say in English, to master something. To master something. As we say in English, to master something, to get a handle on it, to get a hold of it. It's in that sense. So you can't, in other words, the yoga masters can't get a handle on Krishna's yoga, maya. They can't master it. They can't dominate it. Because it's beyond them. So that's what's really being said here. And then, so therefore, what Brahma is saying to the demigods is, so if you're proud of your mystic powers, because you're demigods, you can do all kinds of, you know, incredible acts and things. You can fly in the sky and blow up asteroids with, you know, just by waving your hand. And so, I mean, demigods are pretty powerful people. So in a sense, Brahma is cautioning them here, don't even think about it. Because whatever Krishna is doing, he's doing through his yoga maya, so don't even think that you're going to figure this out or master it or get a hold of it. That's not going to happen. Because even the yogeshwaras can't figure it out. But, not to despair, then Brahma says, however, che mang vidashati sano. No, by the way, means us. And it's you find equivalents in all the Latin languages, Sanskrit, nos, and Spanish, new, N-O-U-S, and Italian, no. Anyway, if you know any Latin language, you've come across this nus before. So, he simply says that the Lord, Bhagavan, the Lord will bestow or ordain, vidasyati, he will ordain, he will bestow, kshemam, security, well-being upon us. In other words, safety, it's all going to work out. Kshemam often means safety, security. Because after all, there's a problem. This Jagan Madai, it's anachronistic. Jai and Vijay have now been unleashed on the world as these terrible monsters. And so what Krishna is literally saying is that the Lord will bestow safety on you. He'll provide for. Vidasyati, that's what it sounds like in Sanskrit. He'll provide for our safety. That's literally what it's saying here. That the Lord will provide for our safety. Kshemang vidasyati sano bhagavan, because the Lord is triadisha. He is the, and adi isha literally means the overlord. Adi means over. The overlord of the three. Tri adi isha, the overlord of the three. Which can mean the three modes of nature, or that's what it first means, or any three things you can think of. It also means he's the Lord of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. And tatra, therein, in other words, in that matter or regarding that. It's a way in Sanskrit of saying regarding that, concerning that. Asmadiya vimarsena kiani harta. By our worrying about it, asmadiya means our. Vimarsa means thinking about it, reflection, deliberation, in other words, worrying about it. By our worrying about it, in other words, what good is our worrying about it going to do? That's what he's saying. He's saying kiyan. Kiyan in Sanskrit means how much. And this is kind of like, what's the use? Kiyan refers to artha. Artha means value, purpose, and so on. So he's saying, what's the use of it? How much, literally, how much value, how much artha, what purposes will be served by our worrying about it if Krishna is going to provide for our safety? That's literally what's being said here. So, any question on these points? Just threw out a few points there. Yes. Is it something like what? Yeah, it comes from the English word tattoo, or does it? Show you. No, actually, I'll give you a very brief explanation. Tut is actually the English word. If you add an H after the first T, it's English. That. Basically, it's English. It's that. Sanskrit just doesn't make you bite your tongue to say it. That. So it's tut. Tut is that. And then twam is something like English ness, N-E-S-S, thatness. In other words, the state of being that. And so that is a demonstrative pronoun. You point to something, that or that. So that in Sanskrit as in English, originally means or essentially means something you can point to, a real thing you can point to. And therefore, of all the real things you can point to, everything you point to really comes from something else. And so you have to point to its origin. And when you finally point to something, which is the final thing you can point out, it's God. And therefore, tut means God, as in Om Tut Sat. So ultimately, tut, that, it means, Sanskrit has this incredibly elegant intellectual way of speaking in philosophical Sanskrit. So that tut, if you say that, it must be a real thing if you say it meaningfully. And so therefore, tut means a real thing. And since all real things come from one real thing, from God, ultimately tut means God. But in any case, tut means that. So thatness, in other words, it means something which is a real that, something which is a real thing you can point to. That's what tattva means. And so it comes to mean in philosophical Sanskrit, a philosophical category, a fundamental category like Vishnu tattva or Jiva tattva. In that sense, it's translated as truth, but that's actually where it comes from. Yes? Yes. Well, yeah, because if you look at the great Vedantists, if you look at the major leagues of Indian philosophy like Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, or Chaitanya, the whole debate in Vedanta, which is like, it's like the major leagues of philosophical debate in India, the debate is always about what really exists. And so therefore it's a debate about tattvas. What are the real things that exist? And everyone admits in this great historical debate, everyone admits that there's a soul. Everyone admits there's a God. And everyone admits that there is a material nature. But now, what's the relationship? Is the material nature not a real tattva? As Shankar said, is it just an illusion? So that it's not a real tattva? Or is it illusion to say that jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva are different? Is there really only one tattva? So if you look at the history of Vedanta debate, it's always an argument about how many tattvas are there. And what are the tattvas? What are the real things? In other words, how many things can you correctly identify by saying tut, that? That's the point. So to say achintya veda veda tattva is to say that the tattvas are inconceivably one and different. So what is one and different are the tattvas, the jiva tattva, the Vishnu tattva, and ultimately even the prakriti tattva, because it's also just Krishna's energy. So that's what's one and different, the tattvas. And of course, Shankar says it a different way. So, but that's why every Vedanta position, every philosophical position held by a Vedantist is a position on tattvas. You follow? So we'll stop there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.